And is there anybody here that does not know who is Lord Rama? Anybody not know who is Lord Rama? Anybody not know? Okay. So if I ask you some questions about Lord Rama, you'll be able to answer them, right? Uh-oh. Well, we have our Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama, Rama. There he is. He gets 50% of the Maha Mantra. There he is. Along with Sita and who's in the background? Lakshman, his younger brother. And they descended from the spiritual sky, a place called Ayodhya. And that spiritual sky, Ayodhya, is not different than the manifestation of Ayodhya in this world. Prabhupada gives this example. It's something like an embassy. In New York, there's lots of people here from India. In New York, just off of Fifth Avenue, is the Indian Embassy. 63rd and Fifth Avenue, something like that. And most of you won't have to go to New York for your visa because, anyway, I go to that embassy for my visa. Or do it the other way. If you go to the American Embassy in Delhi and you want a visa, it's American cups, American water, American law, and if you break the law, you're subject to the American police force, not the Indian police force in Delhi. And vice versa. When you go to the Indian embassy in New York, or there's one in Chicago also, right? Okay, so you go to the Indian embassy here. It's Indian law. It's Indian territory. Although it's not in the subcontinent of Asia, it's over here. You get the idea. So like embassies are many countries, so not exactly the same, but similarly, when Lord Ramachandra descends into this world, he's displaying his divinity, but at the same time, in his pastime, he's performing activities that are seemingly human-like. And that's part of the attractiveness of Lord Ramachandra. It's also a part of the mystery of Lord Ramachandra. Deep mystery. And you know who knows the mystery? The devotee of Lord Ramachandra, they know the mystery. Just like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Bhaktyamam abhijanati yavanyasyasmi tatvataha. Krishna says that only by undivided devotional service is it possible to know me, which means otherwise you can't. And so one who is an undivided devotee, unmixed devotee, a pure devotee of Lord Rama. Let's see if some of our children. Do you know who is this little girl here? No, the little girl. The one wearing the orange sweatshirt, that one. Do you know who is Lord Rama? Yes? Who is one of Lord Rama's greatest devotees, and his name starts with an H? And he's not human. He's a monkey. What's his name? Hanuman! Very good. Where does Hanuman live?
I don't know.
He lives in Kim Purusha Varsha. Where's that, Kim Purusha Varsha? Well, if you read the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, you'll find out. And Kim Purusha Varsha, well, the whole of the fifth, a major part of the fifth canto, this is taken from the fifth canto. So I'll give you a little. The fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, a major part of it is depicting the structure of the universe according to canto 2, chapter 10. Srimad Bhagavatam has 10 main subject matters. In fact, any Mahapurana has 10 main subject matters. And one of them is called in Sanskrit sthanam, which means the structure of the universe. In case you want to know what the structure of the universe is, you can just read fifth canto. Better have a good dictionary with you. It's a little mesmerizing. It's very, there's, it's empiric. There's numbers connected to everything. But anyway, Kim Purusha Varsha is one of 10 Varshas that are part of Jambudweep. I'm making a motion with my hand here. It's a circular island with 9 different Varshas, and it's one of them. Bharat Varsha is another one of them. Bharat Varsha? Bharat Varsha? Those of you from India? I see a few people from India. Where's Bharat Varsha?
India.
Yes, it's from India. That's Bharat Varsha. Kim Purusha Varsha is one of the 9 Varshas in Jambudweep. And Jambudweep is the central island that has a number of circular rings of oceans and circular islands and then rings and oceans and rings and oceans. It's mystical. That's another class to explain how that works. And Kim Purusha Varsha is one of them. When Lord Ramachandra ruled during Treta Yuga, the second of the 4 yugas, and life duration was very long. In Kali Yuga, life duration maximum, some people live longer, maximum is 100 years. Then during the previous year, add a zero, or multiply by 10. And it's 1,000 years. And the previous yuga, 10,000 years. And the previous yuga, 100,000 years. Much longer life duration. So Ramchandra ruled during Treta Yuga for thousands of years. And after he completed his ruling in Ayodhya, he returned to the spiritual Ayodhya, and with him went all of his associates. Thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of his eternal associates, except for one. Which one? Hanuman, right. Because Hanuman stayed back on the instruction. Hanuman wanted to go. He's very attached. But he was given some service. You stay. And for as long as the universe exists, you sing my glories and spread my glories throughout the whole of creation. So that's what Hanuman does. And these prayers are found in the fifth canto, chapter 19, that's describing Kim Purusha Varsha and spoken by Hanuman as he's singing the praises of Ram with other devotees at Kim Purusha Varsha. Hanuman, if we had more time, I would do this interactive. I would ask our young devotees in the audience. Here's one. Both of you. Who is the father of Hanuman? It starts with a V. Vayu, right. Very good. Vayu is the wind god. There's a long description in Ramayana how that happened. Vayu is his father, so Hanuman has great strength and great ability. Monkeys have ability to jump, but Hanuman, whoa, he has Vayu-like ability to jump. When he was just a little newly born monkey, he saw a ball in the sky. Children like to play with balls, so he jumped towards that ball in the sky. It was the sun. And he went zoom, zoom, soaring through the sky. And the demigods were amazed. Look at this creature soaring through the sky. Indra thought, uh-oh, maybe he wants to come over and take over Indraloka. So he hit him with a thunderbolt. And Hanuman went crashing back to earth, broke his jaw, and from that time it was known that Hanuman had great capacity for leaping. There's some detail. One of the versions of Ramayana said he was given a benediction that he wouldn't remember his ability until he was reminded about his ability. And then it happened when Jambavan... Where's another one? You know who is Jambavan? Who is Jambavan? Jambavan. Jambavan. Not Jamuna. Jambavan. Jambavan is one of Ram's devotees. And what kind of creature is he? Right, he's a bear. Yeah, Jambavan. So when Jambavan reminded Hanuman of his ability to jump, that capacity regained, and his body became bigger and bigger so he could jump across to Lanka. What's Hanuman holding in his hand? A mountain. Because when Lakshman was hit with the Shakti Shela weapon and was knocked unconscious, one physician said, there's one special herb, a Sanjeevani, special, and I know a place where you can get it. Hanuman, go. But he couldn't find the herb, so he brought the whole mountain. And then the herb was ministered by the physician, and Lakshman regained his consciousness. There's Hanuman. And who's that again? Over here? Are you with me? On the right-hand side, who's that? Jambavan. That's Jambavan. He's a bear. And over here is Hanuman. And there's Ram and Lakshman and the physician and the horde of monkeys waiting to see that Lakshman becomes revived. So Hanuman was a very intimate servant of Lord Ram. And there's eight prayers we're going to discuss this evening, where he's glorifying. He's the best of the glorifiers of Lord Ramachandra, so we'll just follow in his footsteps to glorify Lord Ramachandra. Shukadeva Goswami is speaking to Maharaj Parikshit, my dear king, in Kim Purusha Varsha. The great devotee Hanuman is always engaged with the inhabitants of that land in devotional service to Lord Ramachandra, the elder brother of Lakshmana, and dear husband of Sita Devi. A host of Gandharvas is always engaged in chanting the glories of Lord Ramachandra. That chanting is always extremely auspicious. Hanumanji and Arshtashena. There we go. Arshtashena, the chief person in Kim Purusha Varsha, constantly hear those glories with complete attention. Let's see if we can do the same thing. Hear these glories of Lord Ramachandra with complete attention. Hanuman chants the following mantras. Maybe you've seen some paintings or posters or illustrations of Hanuman holding these musical instruments and wonder why is he doing that? He's just singing the glories of Ram. Endlessly, tirelessly. I just read some quote from Srila Prabhupada. One devotee, especially our young devotees will appreciate this one. Brahmananda, disciple of Prabhupada, asked, Prabhupada, what's the best way to lead kirtan? Prabhupada's answer was, lead kirtan in such a way that no one will get tired while you're leading kirtan. Everyone will be enlivened. Lead kirtan like that, that's the best way. Endless kirtan. And Hanuman has endless kirtan, glorifying Ram. There you see, within his heart, Lord Ramachandra. This painting on the left is Ramachandra for the first time meeting Hanuman. Of course, this is a leela because they're eternal associates. How do you meet an eternal associate? You perform a leela and you meet them. So he came on behalf of Sugriva, the king of the monkeys, to find out if who is this Ram and who are these people down there that are dressed in tree bark but carrying bows and arrows. So Hanuman, he has many abilities. Besides, he's very powerful and he can soar in the air at great length. He can also change his shape and size. So he assumed the form of a Brahmana. But as soon as Hanuman saw the face and heard the voice of Ramachandra, that's all he needed. He removed his disguise, he changed his form to a monkey and felt completely convinced that this person, Ramachandra, is fully to be trusted. And so dear was Hanuman to Lord Ram that when the Vanaras were going to look for Sita, Ram personally entrusted his ring to Hanuman. So that when Hanuman, who he felt would be the most likely one to find Sita, when he found Sita, she may not trust, what's this creature? A talking monkey, what's that? You show her this ring. Now, Hanuman, because he's the son of Vayu, he's not just an ordinary person. He was an excellent minister. He had many skills. One of them was he was an excellent minister. He advised Sugriva. He even advised Ram in different circumstances when Ram would ask him only. So here's the beginning of his prayers. You see at the beginning, Om Namo Bhagavate Uttama Shlokaya. Just like the Bhagavatam itself begins, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So it's a classic address to the Supreme Lord. This name Uttama Shloka means one who is praised with the choice poetry and choice songs of praise. The first prayer reads, let me please your lordship by chanting the Bija Mantra Omkara. That's this one here, Om. I wish to offer my respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead, who is the best among the most highly elevated personalities. Your lordship is the reservoir of all the good qualities of Aryans, people who are advanced. Your character and behavior are always consistent, and you always control your senses and mind, acting just like an ordinary human being. You exhibit exemplary character to teach others how to behave. There is a touchstone that can be used to examine the quality of gold, but you are like a touchstone that can verify all the good qualities. You are worshipped by brahmanas, who are the foremost of all devotees. You, the Supreme Person, are the King of Kings, and therefore I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Now this is a standard type of praise of the glories of Lord Ram, but you'll see how this and the next one connect with, they all fit in very nicely together. This word Aryan is here, it's used in Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna, speaking to Arjuna, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Arjuna, you're an Aryan. You know the higher purpose of life. Now how have these non-Aryan qualities overcome you? How has that happened? So all of those who are Aryans take shelter in the Supreme Aryan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he has all of these best qualities. In fact, by him one can measure others' qualities. He is the standard. And he's the Supreme Person, the King of all kings, so Hanuman is offering respects unto him. We always see Lord Ram with his bow. Krishna has his flute, and Ram has his bow. Parshuram has his chopper, but Ram has his bow. And with his bow, he gives protection, because that's one of the duties of a kshatriya. So he appeared, although he's the personality of Godhead, he appeared as one of us, and specifically as the ideal king. He showed by his example, the ideal king, Rama Raja, the ideal king. And part of the duties of the ideal king is to give protection to the innocent. So Ram did like that in his pastimes, we'll see. Another image of Ram with a bow is pictured here. This is King Janak. Those of you who are familiar with Srimad Bhagavatam, you know that King Janak is named as one of the 12 greatest authorities in all time. Mahajan, according to Srimad Bhagavatam. And this great Mahajan had a extremely qualified daughter named Sita. So King Janak, he actually wanted Ram to marry Sita. So he arranged a challenge for anyone who wanted to marry his daughter that only Ram could do. He had this very, very special, as you can see, huge bow. It's actually even bigger. It took 300 men with a cart wheeling it out just to bring it into the royal assembly. And the challenge was for any prince or king that wished to marry his daughter, they had to lift the bow and string the bow. They couldn't even lift it, what to speak of string it. But when Lord Ramachandra came, he not only lifted it, he not only strung it, but he broke it. And when he broke it, the sound was so great, you can see the people went flying in all directions because it was kaboom! Just the breaking of the bow. And there's Sita with the garland ready to accept Ramchandra as her beloved husband. Of course, this is a pastime because they're eternally associated. The wedding of Sita and Ram took place. And here is Bharat, one of the other brothers of Ram, who is worshipping the sandals of Ram, because when Ram went into exile, Bharat took the responsibility of the throne, but he didn't sit in the palace. He slept on the bare floor like Ram was sleeping on the bare floor in the forest, a little cottage over here, and just honoring his brother ruling the kingdom in that way. And here's another kind of mystery where Ram is pictured worshipping Lord Shiva or a Shiva Linga. And here's how that happened. This is one of these mysteries that devotees of Ram very clearly understand. After Ravan was defeated, and Sita and Ram were reunited, Ram wanted to hurry back because the 14 years of exile was nearly finished, and he was very concerned that Bharata may not be able to maintain his life, knowing that Ram had not come back yet. Big anxiety, and what to speak of Kaushalya and his other mothers. So he requested Vibhishan to make an arrangement to go back quickly, and that was very easy. By mental strength, he called the Pushpaka Vimana, and Ram and Lakshman and Sita and Hanuman, and for that matter, the whole Vanara horde, they mounted Pushpaka Vimana could expand, so they put everybody on the Vimana. And when traveling back to the mainland, the subcontinent of now India, Ram brought the Pushpaka Vimana down for a landing, took his bath at Dhanush Tirtha, very special place. It's the place where part of the bridge was going to Lanka, and Vibhishan requested Ram, could you do something, this bridge that now is floating on the ocean, it could be a place of vulnerability for wicked soldiers to come and try to give difficulty to our kingdom. Could you break the bridge? So Ram agreed. He took his bow. With the tip of his bow, he broke it in three places. And therefore it's called Dhanush Tirtha, because Dhanu is the bow. And then he was received, Ram was received by Agastya Muni. And Agastya Muni was a great sage. Great, great sage. But Agastya Muni was also recognizing that Ram is the personality of Godhead. So normally the king is honoring the Brahmana, but in this case the Brahmana is honoring the king because he recognizes that he's the personality of Godhead. And he offers some beautiful praise of Ram. His position, his glories, his wonderful activities. You've done this, you've done that. You protected the sages in the forest. You built this wonderful bridge. You protected Sita. You killed the maniac Ravan. And Ram then replied, all the glories that you have spoken are very fitting. So he accepted, it's very interesting, he accepted the position of the personality of Godhead, and then Ram asked Agastya, what is it that I can do to atone for the sin of killing a Brahmana? Now who is that Brahmana that he had killed? Ravana. Now Ravana didn't behave like a Brahmana at all. But he was the son of Vishrava, who was the son of Palashya Muni, who was the son of Lord Brahma. So Vishrava, when Ravan was born, his father, Vishrava, trained him very, very, very nicely. He trained him in all varieties of skills and sciences and the Vedas. Whoever is in charge of that screaming child, could they take the screaming child outside the room? Please. Thank you very much. Because once one child starts, the other starts, it becomes a chorus. I've noticed. There's a herd of turtles upstairs, too. They're running this way. Running that. Okay, so Ravan was trained. There's many details, but time won't permit, so I'll skip some of the details. But Keshini was the wife of one of the wives of Vishrava. Keshini was the daughter of Sumali. Sumali was in the Daitya dynasty. So Sumali made every effort to make sure that Ravana became like him. So he persuaded Ravana, go to the forest and engage in austerities so to Lord Shiva, become his devotee, and seek immortality. You're very powerful, you're very learned, you should become impenetrably powerful. So for years, Ravana underwent austerities. Finally, Lord Shiva came and asked, what is it? He was cutting off his head to offer his head into the fire. But then a second head appeared. And he did it 9 times. He ended up with 10 heads. That's how he got his 10 heads. Finally, Lord Shiva came and said, what do you want? This is too much. I'm Ashutosh. I'm easily pleased. You don't have to do this. And Ravan said, I want immortality. He said, no. Then he did very much like what Hirani Kashyapu. Well, then I can't be killed by this and that and that and that and this and that and then the other. And one of the he left off was a man, a human, thinking, I'm so powerful, a human can't touch me. So he hit the delete button when it came to man. So Ramchandra came as a man. Human-like, at least, in that form. And Ravana had a brother. Ravana's brother, another son of Vishrava, of a different wife, was Kuvera. And Kuvera, because Vishrava was such an elevated brahmana, Vishrava arranged for Kuvera that Vishvakarma, not our head cook here at the temple, but Vishvakarma, who he's named after, made a golden city for Kuvera. And the two brothers, they're kind of like stepbrothers, Ravan and Kuvera, they were friends, kind of. But when Ravan got all this power, along with mystic powers and his benediction from Lord Shiva, he came to Kuvera and said, you know what? I want your kingdom. So you have a choice. You can either give me your kingdom or engage in battle with me. Think it over. So Kuvera went to his father, Vishrava. What should I do? He said, he's too powerful. He has these benedictions from Lord Shiva. Don't try to fight him. Just give him the kingdom. So without a fight, he took the kingdom of Kuvera and all of the opulence that went with that kingdom. And he ruled. He made that his headquarters. Ravana ruled from there. And he became, then went on a big rampage trying to, you know, destroy different people. And one time he went to visit Lord Shiva at Mount Kailash. And when he came to visit Lord Shiva, he was greeted by Nandi. Nandi is the bull carrier of Lord Shiva. Nandi said, what is it that you would like? He said, I've come to see Lord Shiva. He said, you seem very arrogant. You're not at all a nice, humble devotee of Lord Shiva. So you stay away. And then Ravan started mocking Nandi, making fun of him, saying bad things, bad names. Nandi was disgusted. It said, you're going to completely lose your kingdom. You'll be defeated by a monkey. So Ravan wanted to show Nandi how powerful he was. He tried to lift Mount Kailash. Lord Shiva was on top of Mount Kailash. He was with his might lifting the whole of Mount Kailash. Lord Shiva understood this pipsqueak Ravan. He put his toe on the mountain and pressed his toe down, and Ravan was getting squished. And he held the mountain down like that for years. The body of Ravana was practically bursting with the pressure of Mount Kailash because of the toe of Lord Shiva. To pacify Lord Shiva, one of the things that Ravana had learned from his father, Vishrava, was playing musical instruments as one of the arts as a Brahmana he learned. So using his own, his nervous system cords, his nerves, he started playing like a veena, a musical instrument, and singing. Shiva liked that. So he let his toe up. Said, all right, just don't do this again. If Nandi says don't come, don't come. And he gave him some benedictions. He gave him a special sword, very powerful sword and some mystic powers. Said, with this sword you can't be defeated. But if you use it for evil purpose, it will leave your hand, come back to me, and you'll be destroyed. So Ravan considered himself invincible. And he went here and he went there and was defeating people. And with that audacity, he tried to defeat Ram, but he was advised, don't try to defeat Ram. So he came up with this other plan, steal Sita. And without Sita, Ram will be, paralyzed. He won't be able to live without Sita. So Ram asked Agastya how to atone for the sin of killing a Brahmana. Now those of you that are familiar with Srimad Bhagavatam, maybe even from Mahabharata, that when the five sleeping sons of Draupadi were killed, yes, some of you know that, during the Kurukshetra battle, at night, the five sons of the five Pandavas, all of were daughters of Draupadi, they were sleeping in a tent. An Ashvatthama, a Brahmana, son of Drona, came into the tent in the middle of the night and cut off their five heads with a sword and came and presented the five heads to Duryodhana, thinking he'd be very pleased. Even Duryodhana was disgusted. And then he had an uh-oh experience. So when Arjuna captured Ashvatthama and he brought Ashvatthama before Draupadi, because he had taken a vow, when you're performing the funeral rites for your five sons, you can stand on his head as you're pouring ablutions into the fire. And as he was ready to cut off Ashvatthama's head, Draupadi said, don't do it. You've taken a vow unto me, I release you from the vow. Don't do it. And his elder brother, Yudhisthira, who Arjuna would never do something against, he said, don't do it. Bhima said, do it. And Krishna said, do it. Because he says it's a sin, he deserves the punishment according to Manu Samhita. And this is the punchline. Don't think that because he's a Brahmana, you'll incur the sin of killing a Brahmana. Because what he's done is not Brahmana. He's Brahmabandhu. He's the son of a Brahmana, but his behavior is so abominable. He deserves to be punished. Kill him. So when Ram killed Ravana, there was no sin. But still he's taking this humble position as the ideal king. I've killed a Brahmana, the son of a Brahmana. So Agastya, please give me advice. They've just had this exchange that Agastya understands that he's the personality of Godhead. Ram says, yes, I'm the personality of Godhead. Now can you please give me some advice? How can I atone for the sin of killing a Brahmana? He said, I have no position to give you any advice. But because you're asking is a service, I'll suggest that a very suitable atonement would be you worship Lord Shiva. And if you go to the abode of Lord Shiva, he'll give you a special Shiva Linga that you can worship and this atonement can be performed. So they all looked at Hanuman. Hanuman, would you like to go to Mount Kailash and get a Shiva Linga from Lord Shiva? There goes Hanuman. But when he reached Kailash, Lord Shiva was in meditation. So he sat down and meditated on Lord Ram and fulfilling the instructions of Lord Ram. And it was a long meditation for Lord Shiva. And meanwhile, Agastya is saying, it's time. We have to, the auspicious time for this is required. So Sita said, if you instruct me, Lord Ram, I'll fashion with my hand in the sand one Shiva Linga. So she did. And the Shiva Linga was installed. Agastya Muni performed the ceremony, chanting the appropriate mantras, and had Lord Ramachandra also worship that Shiva Linga. And just when the ceremony was over, Hanuman came back. And then he saw that he was too late. They had already done the Abhishek of the Shiva Linga. And he became terribly disturbed. I failed my master, Lord Ramachandra. He gave me this simple service to do, and I was unable to perform it. It wasn't, you know, the worldly kind of lamentation. It was a transcendental. His love for Ram is so strong he could do anything. And being unable to fulfill that instruction that Ram gave, he was devastated. He sat down to fast till death. And Ram started reasoning with him, Hanuman, you've done so many things. You did this and you've done that and I'm completely dependent upon you. Hanuman, without you, how would I have been reunited with Sita? And now I want to be reunited with Bharat. How can I do that without you? Hanuman. But Hanuman was in this very sad mood, transcendental, not worldly. And then Ram said, what will my life be without you? He started becoming filled with anxiety. If you leave me, there's no reason for my life. I'll give up my life too. And he started crying and his hot tears fell on the body of Hanuman. And then he was revived. He said, Hanuman, you just were late. It's not too late. This place where Sita has installed the Shiva Linga, we'll put yours there. But you have to lift Sita's Shiva Linga. But I'll tell you in advance, you won't be able to do it. Hanuman, so powerful. He started to lift the Shiva Linga, but it wouldn't go. Then he wrapped his powerful tail around the Shiva Linga and was pulling with his tail, with his legs, and with his arms, and the Shiva Linga wouldn't move. Blood started coming out of his body, his tail. And then he started crying, I failed again. And Hanuman and Ramchandra said, of course not. This installation of Sita's Shiva Linga has gone down to the bottommost part of the universe. It's impossible. But don't lament. We'll place your Shiva Linga over here. There's a little hillock. We'll place your Shiva Linga. And in the future, anyone who comes here should first worship your Shiva Linga, given to you by Lord Shiva himself. and then worship this one, and then take their bath in Dhanushtirtha, and all their sins will be gone. For any sins that may have been committed at any time. Of course, we have a very simple method of achieving the same thing. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Now some people who aren't devotees of Ram, they think, well, just see, Ram is worshipping Shiva, and that means Shiva is greater than Ram. Very logical. It would seem logical. But why is Lord Ramachandra doing this, if it's not what that particular statement? Same as what Lord Ramachandra, what Krishna did when his dear classmate friend Sudama, Brahmana, came to visit him in Dwarka. Krishna placed him on the royal throne, his own throne, and had Rukmini bring paraphernalia for worship. He washed his feet and performed aarti ceremony for Sudama. So that means Sudama is the supreme and Krishna is subordinate to Sudama, right? No. Krishna likes to worship his devotee, his true, pure devotee. Krishna likes. Krishna likes. And Ramchandra likes. And Lord Shiva, according to Srimad Bhagavatam, he's the greatest of all Vaishnavas. And what's a Vaishnava mean? What is a worshipper of Vishnu? When Lord Shiva is in meditation, upon whom is he meditating? Answer, Lord Vishnu. He's a devotee of Lord Vishnu. And Ramachandra, he loves honoring his devotees. Just see. And this is our understanding of Lord Ramachandra. I better go faster because we're going to run out of time. This is Ramachandra standing at the shore of the ocean where he, to cross over to Lanka, he had requested Vibhishan for some suggestion. St. Ramachandra's advice that he received was, you ask the ocean personified. We see him over here. So Ramchandra laid down on Darbha grass. There's a nice temple, Darbha Shayana Ram, where he performed this pastime. For 3 days and 3 nights, he fasted. He's the personality of Godhead. He doesn't need anybody's help. He doesn't need to fast. He doesn't need anything. But he's giving some opportunity for Samudra to do some service. Samudra didn't come. Ramchandra understood. He's puffed up. So he took one of his arrows and fired his arrows into the ocean. The ocean started to boil. Samudra came with folded palms. I didn't understand who you are. Our acharyas say it was actually Samudra was afraid of Ravana. If I cooperate and help Ramchandra cross, Ravana could get me, give me great trouble. So he was afraid. He ruled by fear. But of course Ramchandra is fearless. Samudra then made his suggestion. Ramachandra, one of the persons in your assembly is Nala, who is the son of Vishvakarma. And surely he will know how to build a bridge to cross the ocean. Now Ramachandra doesn't need anybody's help to do anything. But he was giving some service to all these personalities. Okay. Now the next two verses are carrying over from the first two. That is, the Lord, that's Ramachandra, whose pure form, Satchit Ananda Vigraha, is uncontaminated by the modes of material nature, can be perceived by pure consciousness. In the Vedanta, he is described as being one without a second. Because of his spiritual potency, he is untouched by the contamination of material nature, and because he is not subjected to material vision, he is known as transcendental. He has no material activities, nor has he a material form or name. Only in pure consciousness, Krishna consciousness, can one perceive the transcendental form of the Lord. Let us be firmly fixed at the lotus feet of Lord Ramachandra, and let us offer our respectful obeisances unto those transcendental lotus feet. That's Sita massaging the legs of Ram after the long journey through the forest, Lakshman standing guard. And just seeing the very nature of this painting, it's very reminiscent of Lakshmi Narayan or Rama and Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, where she's massaging his feet. So it's the same personality, just the Leela is different. Similarly, the lotus feet are being worshipped here by Guha, a forest dweller, not a great personality by birth, but a great personality by devotion. And because of his devotion, Ram allowed Guha also to worship his lotus feet. Text number 5. It was ordained that Ravana, the chief of the Rakshasas, could not be killed by anyone but a man. Nandi said that. No, excuse me. Shiva, Lord Shiva said that. He could be killed by a man. And for this reason, Lord Ramachandra, the Supreme Personality of God, had appeared in the form of a human being. Lord Ramachandra's mission, however, was not only to kill Ravana, but also to teach mortal beings that material happiness centered around sex life or centered around one's wife is the cause of many miseries. I hope you understood what he just said. Those of you that are married, you know already. He is the self-sufficient Supreme Personality of God, and nothing is lamentable for him. Therefore, why else could he be subjected to tribulations by the kidnapping of Mother Sita? I'll tell a little Prabhupada story. I'm trying to keep track of time, but Ram Leela is so nice, it takes a while to narrate it. In 1975, we had no temple in Hyderabad. But a Mr. Reddy, a very wealthy man in Hyderabad, he wanted us to have a temple in Hyderabad. So he donated some land with the promise from Prabhupada that he would build a nice temple. So I found out about that because we were in Mayapur for our annual Mayapur Vrindavan festival, and Prabhupada arranged for 100 devotees to go by train from Calcutta to Hyderabad to take part in a week-long festival, and I was one of those 100 devotees in the train going to Hyderabad. And it was really interesting. Hyderabad's a busy city, and the piece of land was just like dirt in the middle of big buildings, so we slept right on the dirt. And there weren't toilets, so we had latrines. And we didn't have any showers, so we just poured water on our heads every morning. Bucket showers, we called it. And then had our morning program there, and, you know, breakfast, khichdi for breakfast. And then we went on Harinam Sankirtan for hours, inviting people to go to the evening Pandal program. And then one of the life members would invite all those devotees to come to their home for lunch. So one day, one of that week's lunches was at Shri Shri Kishore Kishori Ki Jai. One of those lunches, I hope you don't mind, it's Saturday night. Go a little longer. So one of those lunches with it was at the home of Mr. Reddy, the man who had donated the property for the temple. And he had a big estate, big house, lots of beautiful landscaping, and the 100 devotees sat around in the house. It was hot, but we sat around the house in different, under different trees for shade and had lunch. So I had lunch really quickly because I wanted to go inside because Prabhupada was inside the house. And where Prabhupada was seated, It was the sitting room of this wealthy man's house. And on one side was Prabhupada, and at his feet were the sannyasis. And over on the other side was the lady of the house, Mrs. Reddy, and some of her friends. And Mrs. Reddy was saying, "Swamiji, why did Ramchandra make a mistake? He's omniscient. He must have known that the golden deer was not a golden deer, that it was a trick. Swamiji, why did Ramchandra make a mistake?" And Prabhupada replied, "It wasn't a mistake, it was a lila." "Yes, but Swamiji, Sita had to suffer so much. Why did Ramchandra make that mistake?" You know, she did one of those, just repeating herself over and over. And he said it was for the purpose of Ramchandra experiencing separation from Sita. It was a transcendental emotion. "Yes, but Swamiji, she had to undergo so much hardship, and Ravana was so mean, and the Rakshasis were so cruel. And Swamiji, why did Ramchandra make a mistake?" And finally Prabhupada said, "Ramchandra," what's said right here, "Ramchandra wanted to teach, even you're the personality of Godhead. If you associate too much with women, you'll get trouble." So they proceeded to give Swamiji more trouble. "But Swamiji, why did he make this mistake?" Prabhupada laughed, the sannyasis laughed, the ladies didn't get it. They were too busy giving Swamiji trouble. So this is an important, according to Hanuman, who knows Ramchandra and his purposes, was not only to kill Ravan at the request of the demigods to do so, but Ramchandra was teaching a lesson. Too much attachment for the opposite sex, man for woman or woman for man, is the cause of so much misery. Now, at the bottom here, he's saying, how else could he be subjected to tribulations? So there's another painting of Brahms killing Ravan with the city of Lanka burning in the background. Now listen, he's saying it again. Text number 6. "Since Lord Ramachandra is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev, he is not attached to anything in this material world. He is the most beloved supersoul of all self-realized souls. And he is their very intimate friend. He is full of all opulences, therefore. He could not possibly have suffered because of separation from his wife. Nor could he have given up his wife and Lakshmana, his younger brother. To give up either would have been absolutely impossible." What does that mean? They're inseparable. Just like the sun and the sunshine. Has anybody seen some sunshine somewhere without a sun? Or sun without sunshine? No such thing. In other words, it's a pastime. So what's the pastime for? Well, externally, there's some lesson that he's teaching, and internally, it's the mood of separation from the beloved. Transcendental. Vipralamba bhav in Sanskrit. The mood of intensified love. It's a lila for him to experience that intensified love in separation. He could have killed Ravana so many different ways. He chose this one. And it all started by this lady over here. Who knows that one of our children? Mantara! And who is this? Starts with a K. Kai K, very good. Little help and assist for mom. So Mantara put an evil idea in Kaikeyi's mind. Ram is going to be crowned prince regent in the absence of Bharat. It's all a trick in so many evil things. Kaikeyi didn't pay any attention, but finally she became persuaded. She took her two boons. Ram should be banished and Bharat should become king. And immediately Ram was ready to be banished and he left with Sita and Lakshman on the royal chariot. And then he entered the forest. with Sita and Lakshman. And he was very happy being in the forest. And so was Sita being very happy in the forest. She had argued when Ram said, "You can't come." One of my favorite places in all of the royal palace is not the palace, but the royal garden. I came from the earth. I love the earth and I love nature. So when she was in the forest, she was as happy as can be to see these beautiful flowers, listen to the sound of the beautiful birds, all the flora and fauna and the humming of the bees. And this is not austerity. This is happiness. The greatest happiness. And here I am with you and being guarded and protected by Lakshman. What could be happier? And she has a natural affinity for the animals in the forest. And so one of those animals was this golden deer. So after the 13th year of their exile, when Sita saw this golden deer, she requested Ram, "Please capture this golden deer. Only 1 year left. We can take it back and put it in the park and it'll be so delightful. Just see the colors. See the beauty of this deer. Ram, Ram. Get the deer, deer. Oh dear, get the deer." Lakshman said, "No way. This is a trick. This isn't one of the 8,400,000 species of life. This is something else. Who's seen a deer like that? This is a trick. Ram, don't go. Oh, Ram, please go. I want the deer. Deer?" And so, Ram said, "Lakshman, you stay and guard Sita. I'll go chase the deer. And if it is a trick, then I'll just kill the deer. No problem. Who can harm me? But just you stay and guard Sita." So when Ram shot the deer, Marichi knew some other tricks besides shape-changing ability. He could make the sound of Ram's voice and called out very loudly, "Lakshman, help! Save me, Lakshman!" When Sita heard that, "Lakshman, go quickly! Your dear brother Ram is in difficulty. Go save him." Lakshman didn't go. He said, "Ram told me to stay. There's only one thing I'll do ever, and that's follow the instruction of Ram." "You must go. Your brother's calling you." And back and forth and back and forth saying, "Aha! Now I understand. You're not going because all along you've been wanting to be with me alone and enjoy me instead of Ram." "No, no, how can you say that? I don't even know what you look like. I just only see your ankles." "You must go, and if you don't go, I'll take my life. Go at once. Save your brother." So, what to do? So he went against the instruction of Ram. That was a big mistake. So he drew on the ground this Lakshman Rekha and told Sita, "Don't step outside," but let's see, who knows who that one is? Any other children who want to identify who that guy is? Who knows? You know who that guy is? That's Ravana. It doesn't look like Ravana. It looks like a nice Brahmin. But he had the ability to disguise himself too. And Sita is a perfectly cultured lady and wanted to offer some service to this Brahmana. But then when she stepped out to give him the offerings, the charity, he grabbed her and whisked her away. And Jatayu here is protecting Sita, trying. There's Sita and the clutches of Ravan. Boy, does he look awful. As he's soaring through the air, Jatayu's wings were cut by Ravan. Put up a big fight. But Jatayu was killed, or at least maimed so he couldn't fly and fell to the ground. And Sita here is shown dropping her ornaments in a cloth as Jatayu here is fighting with Ravan as she's crossing over the Rishimukh mountain. Later, Ram and Lakshman, they found Jatayu, performed his funeral rites. This is the body of Jatayu, the spiritual body, as he's going back to Godhead. Very, very touching scene. Jatayu explained everything, because they were looking everywhere. Where did Sita go? He explained what happened, the direction that Sita had gone. And then Ravana, torturing Sita, demanding that she submit to him. Here's indicating, well, you see, Ravana fails to win Sita in the Ashoka garden. These are all the Rakshasis guarding Sita. But amongst the Rakshasis, this is very nice, there was one, Trijata. Trijata was the daughter of one of Ravan's brothers, Vibhishan's daughter, Trijata. And so Trijata consoled Sita. She said, your gentle nature and humility have won my heart. I just want to serve you. So she told Sita of a dream that she had, that Ram had come with Lakshman and had, in the dream, had killed Ravana, and Sita was rejoined with Ram. So details and details in the dream, but we can't go into the details because of time. So Sita was then pacified. She felt greatly relieved. There were other circumstances also where Trijata... So even in difficulty, a devotee, their faith in the Supreme Lord's protection is provided by very nice devotees. And eventually they returned back to Ayodhya. This is a nice painting of a six-armed form of the Supreme Lord. The two arms, of course, that's Krishna holding a flute. Two other arms, arrow, and over here, the bow of Ramachandra. And this is Lord Chaitanya holding his danda and his water pot, Kamandalu. The same forms of these three personalities is actually one personality. And two prayers left from Hanuman. One cannot establish a friendship with the Supreme Lord Ramachandra on the basis of material qualities, such as one's birth in an aristocratic family, one's personal beauty, one's eloquence, one's sharp intelligence, or one's superior race or nation. None of these qualifications is actually a prerequisite for friendship with Lord Ramachandra. Otherwise, how is it possible that although we, uncivilized inhabitants of the forest, have not taken noble births, although we have no physical beauty, and although we cannot speak like gentlemen, Lord Ramachandra has nevertheless accepted us as friends? Very beautiful painting when Ram received Hanuman, and Hanuman told them the whole story of how he had found Sita, and he handed over to Ram Sita's ring. Ram said, in normal circumstances, a king is to richly reward such a servitor as you for such noble and risky service. But I'm living in the forest, I have nothing. All I have to offer you is my warm embrace. Much better for Hanuman than anything is Lord Ramachandra's warm embrace. Very beautiful painting. Here's a painting of the ornaments that Sita had dropped on top of Rishimukh Mountain. That's Sugriva with the crown on, by the way. And who is that one? Who's over here? Look. Right here. Who's that? Jambavan. Jambavan. Yeah. And Ram, seeing the ornaments of Sita, his heart is broken, thinking of the hardships and difficulty that Sita is undergoing. And using this fire, they took vows where Sugriva and Ram became fast friends. Hanuman, in turn, helping Ram find Sita, after finding Sita, burning Lanka, teaching a lesson to the followers of Ravan. I'm just one monkey, wait till you see, there's thousands and thousands and thousands like me. You're in big trouble. There he's watching the city burn. Before he went back. Now, it's already 15 minutes after 8. Let me narrate. It's nice. Who is this? This is one of Ravan's brothers, named Vibhishan. And behind Vibhishan, there's four ministers. So, minus so many wonderful details, Vibhishan made his best effort. Something very similar to Krishna. Anyway, Vibhishan was trying to persuade Ravan that his sinful activities would bring ruin to their whole dynasty. He should just return Sita and done with it. But Ravan wouldn't hear. In fact, he threatened him and said, if you weren't my brother, I would kill you at once. Get out of here. You're not my brother. You're an enemy. You're devoted to my enemy, so you're my enemy. And you don't belong here in this assembly. Get out. So Vibhishan left. He left his home. He left his possessions. He left his wife. He left everything to take shelter of Ramachandra. And when he came, well, here's another painting. There's all these vanaras with their weapons upraised. When they saw Vibhishan coming in, they said, no way, this is the brother of Ravan. Don't trust him. So Vibhishan had requested Sugriva to carry the message to Ram, saying, I want to surrender to him. I've tried to persuade Ravan, but he's impossible. And so I want to take shelter of Ram and become engaged in his service. So many details. There was a big, long discussion about Ram asked advice from his ministers and the leading generals. What should he do? Should he accept Vibhishan or not? Finally, upon being called on, Hanuman offered his understanding. All the others, they're mistaken. I can see from the face of Vibhishan and hearing the voice of Vibhishan, he's to be trusted. It has been said by Jambavan, he may be motivated. He knows that Ravan is going to be destroyed. Someone has to become king. He's ready to become king. But he's devoted to Ram, that had become king. I say he's to be trusted and you should accept him. You've asked for my advice. And Ram said, I've already decided. In fact, I declare it very boldly, please listen very carefully. Anyone who even once, sincerely takes shelter of me and says, from this day forward, I am yours. That person, I give my solemn vow. I will always protect them and bring them to the position of fearlessness. He said, even if Ravan himself came, after all of his bad things, not only to me, but to so many, so bad. But if he surrendered, I would accept him. So it's a very beautiful pastime. There's much more to be said, but time. Now the building of the, speaking of who is eligible to become Ram's friend and devotee. Here's the monkey warriors building the bridge. And we see over here this little squirrel. They were writing on the names of Ram onto the rocks, so they were floating. And Hanuman saw the little squirrel. "You're in the way. We're trying to build a bridge. Move to the side." And Ram said, "No, no, no. You're using your strength to your capacity. He's using his strength to his capacity. As far as I'm concerned, he's as good as you are. One who uses their strength to their capacity." So Ram accepted anyone. Squirrels and monkeys and bears, and this is Guha, an aborigine, a forest dweller, king. But because he was so devoted and simple in heart to Lord Ramachandra, Ramachandra accepted him also. And Shabari. Shabari was a forest dwelling lady whose father was a hunter. There's an interesting story. I'll try to finish up quickly. Shabari was, her father, when she was of marriageable age, her father planned a big wedding. So he took all of his skins of deers and tigers and things and traded them in for some goats and some lambs, because he was going to have a big feast and chop them up and have a feast. When she saw all those animals, she just left. She didn't get married. She didn't want to have any part of any of that kind of thing. She just went wandering through the forest. And eventually she found the hermitage of the sage Matanga. She requested Matanga to give her shelter because she was so simple and so pure-hearted. He accepted her in that ashram. And she stayed there and served everyone very humbly. And when sage Matanga became very, very old, he was giving up his body voluntarily, just like Grandfather Bhishma was able to do in a fire. She said, "I want to go with you." And he said, "No, you stay, because the day will come when Lord Ramachandra will come to this ashram. I wish I could stay and serve him, then go. But my body is too old, I can't. You stay. Your body is old too. But you'll be able to stay until he comes." So what did Shabari do? She followed the instructions of the sage. She gathered berries and roots and edibles of the forest type wherever she could find them. And it was her daily sadhana, her puja. She worshipped Lord Ramachandra, keeping the place very clean, making all these arrangements so that when Ramachandra finally did come, everything would be very nice. And finally he came. It was years. Every day she did this. And then finally one day she came to her heart's delight. She served all the edibles. The sitting place was, arrangement was made. All the paths were clear of stones and thorns and any other items. So it was very soft for the feet of Lord Ramachandra. And he very happily accepted, although the edibles were just very, very, very simple. He accepted the love and devotion with which she offered. Just like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati. When you offer something with love and devotion, as Shabari did, it doesn't matter your background. He was very happy to accept. So last verse. Therefore, whether one is a demigod or a demon, a man or a creature, other than a man, such a beast, a bird, everyone should worship Lord Ramachandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who appears on this earth just like a human being. There is no need of great austerities or penances to worship the Lord, for he accepts even a small service offered by his devotee. Thus, he is satisfied, and as soon as he is satisfied, the devotee is successful. Indeed, Lord Ramachandra brought all the devotees of Ayodhya back home, back to Godhead, except for one. Which one? Hanuman. So here they are back in Ayodhya. They returned with the Pushpaka Vimana back to Ayodhya, received by the residents of Ayodhya. Here they're descending from the Vimana. Here's Kaushalya and the other queens rising to receive Ram and Sita and Lakshman. And of course, the other brothers are there as well. Descending, here's Hanuman assuming a huge form in the very opulent abode of Ayodhya. Ram was crowned the king with the enthusiasm of Bharat and all of the other residents of Ayodhya. And Ram ruled as the king for a long time in the association of his devotees. Shri Ramachandra ki.